Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Welcome to another Mobility Management podcast. Today, I'm joined by Tim Casey, general counsel from NewMotion, to discuss corporate compliance and why doing things the right way is never wrong. As general counsel and chief compliance officer at NewMotion, Tim Casey is the primary compliance and legal advisor responsible for leading NewMotion's corporate compliance program. Before joining NewMotion in 2016, Tim served in a variety of legal roles at GE Healthcare, including general counsel for several divisions. His law career has included both private practice and corporate law, and Tim also served as law clerk to two U.S. federal judges. Tim has a degree from Marquette University Law School, a master's degree in history from Marquette University, and a bachelor's degree from Lewis University. Our podcast today is sponsored by NewMotion. NewMotion is a leading provider of complex rehab technology to people with disabilities, providing personal mobility and independence to individuals so they can be active members of their communities. With more than 150 locations across the United States, NewMotion pairs technical and clinical expertise to assist people with disabilities with their equipment. A trained staff of caring and compassionate professionals is dedicated to ensure customers' mobility needs are met. So, Tim, welcome to our podcast. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Lori. It's great to be with you this morning.
Our topic today is corporate compliance, but from a slightly different perspective than maybe what we're used to hearing. This is less about the basic idea that compliance is important, because we already know that, and it's more about the hows and whys of compliance and using NewMotion as a sort of example of how real-life compliance can be incorporated into everyday actions and everyday choices in a way that raises you up as a company and maybe raises CRT up as an industry. So here's my full disclosure. You and I have talked about this before. So I already know, for example, that while you're the chief compliance officer, you don't really see your job as one of instilling fear into NewMotion's ATPs, funding specialists, service technicians, etc. In fact, you've mentioned to me before that your concept of compliance at NewMotion is not fear-based. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right, Lori. I really don't see compliance as a fear-based thing. I think compliance is about leading and doing the right thing. We tell our folks, good compliance and good business are the same thing. It's just not something that I think is effective and sustainable over the long term to just try to drive fear into people. I think there's really, when there's an understanding that a compliant way is good business and it's right for the customer and it's right for the company and it's right for the payers, that that's really a much more sustainable model.
So you've talked about really compliance not being something that you do because you don't want to get in trouble, but you really approach it from a leadership perspective, that being compliant is part of being a leader. Is that sort of leadership something that you want NewMotion employees, no matter what their title is, that you want them to think of themselves as leaders when it comes to compliance?
Absolutely. You and I have talked in the past that, you know, sometimes people have the misconception that we call the compliance department to make decisions about compliance, to drive compliance, and that the compliance department owns compliance. And that's just not true. The truth is that every employee owns compliance. If you try to have a small department of folks owning compliance at a company the size of ours with the reach that our company has, you really won't be successful. The only way to be successful is to deputize, you know, the 2,700 plus employees that we have here to make sure that they feel empowered to make the right decisions, that they know what the right thing is to do, and that when they need help, they know who to call. And that really is about leadership. It's about confidence and judgment. It's about being willing to make sometimes difficult decisions. It's about understanding why things are the right thing to do. And all of that is about leadership and understanding that we're leaders in the industry. We are leaders for our customers, for one another. And so we really do look at everyone in that way, and we expect big things from them. And I think when you successfully show people that you expect big things, big leadership from them. Most people step up to that challenge. If you try to drive people with fear, they'll behave that way. And so when you give them responsibility, most people take it very seriously.
So it sounds as if you believe and teach that compliance goes hand in hand with personal responsibility and the decisions and choices that we make every day. Compliance is not about, okay, we're thinking about compliance right now because we're in a seminar about it, but it really is about incorporating compliance and that way of thinking, that leadership way of thinking, into the choices that we have to make every day. Is that fair to say?
That's absolutely right. It's not something separate from what we do every day. It's a way that we do the things that we do every day. And so by that, you know, what do I mean? When we're driving down the road, there's a range of acceptable speeds that one can drive at. And so compliance in that setting is not a separate way. It's not something separate to think about. It's a way of thinking about how you're doing what you're doing. And so we really think every day about how we better integrate compliance into what we're doing. Because at the end of the day, it really needs to be operationalized and needs to be a part of everything that our folks are doing. So we're trying to not think about extra approaches, new things. We're trying to look at the things that they do every day, the tasks that they complete, the responsibilities that they have, and explain to them how to do those compliantly so that it's not thought about as an add-on. It's just thought about as part of what the role is.
Okay, so let's take that idea now and incorporate that into what may be a typical workday for someone at NewMotion. And this is an example that you used when we talked about compliance during the 2019 National Leadership Conference that NewMotion had in January. Part of the compliance presentation gave the audience of ATPs and managers, gave them this question. If a CRT manufacturer offers you, the NewMotion employee, tickets to a Predators hockey game, is it okay to take the tickets? Or is this a compliance violation? And right off the bat, the scenario was the CRT manufacturer is not asking anything of you. This is not a, we're going to give you the tickets. We expect something in return. This is maybe just a manufacturer being very generous and saying, hey, I've got an extra couple of tickets. I heard you love hockey. Why don't you go take a coworker, take your kid, have a great time. And that was sort of the example that was used. So is that a great example of sort of the scenario that you would talk about with your team, with everyone in NewMotion when you talk about how to be compliant? You put it in a very everyday scenario sort of situation?
We do. We try to. I mean, because we can sit around and dream up, you know, make-believe situations and then tell people how to handle those. But that's not especially useful for folks. And so the hockey ticket example was a great example because those are things that people see and face every day. And I think a lot of times folks come to compliance with some nuanced and tricky questions, and they're hoping that they'll hear, hey, this is really black and white. And so yes, do this. No, don't do that. And good luck to you. And it's really often not that simple. If it was, you probably wouldn't even need a compliance department because more often than not, you know, people really do know the right thing to do. But there are a lot of tricky situations like that where the manufacturer may not expect something in return for those tickets, and it may be much more of a social offering. And so, you know, is the right answer to say to the folks in your business, no? Just no, you can't do that and you can't go to the game? Or is the right answer to kind of pry into the situation a little bit, understand, you know, the scenario, and then say, well, look, there might be some options here. Perhaps you can pay face value for those tickets, which will still give you the opportunity to go to the game, but it also puts some separation in there and makes very clear that there's not an expectation of any kind of quid pro quo, which could start to get people in trouble. So really thinking through the kinds of situations people face in their day-to-day lives and how they can really look at those and analyze those. And more than anything, I think it really empowers people when they know, what are the kinds of issues that should get my antenna up a little bit? I may not know how to solve all these, but I do know how to spot them, and I know who to call for help when I need it. And the more people can be confident in that and see these things in their day-to-day life and then work through these problems with you, rather than just getting back sort of a yes, you can, no, you can. There's no real explanation, no showing the work behind the math problem, so to speak. It's just more helpful for people when they understand how you got there, why you got there. And these are difficult challenges that people face day to day. There's often not simple answers. And so we're really just trying to be very practical and realistic in the examples that we give in the scenarios we walk through, because we want them to walk away and say, hey, I get it. This really does impact my life. This does pop up every day or every week, and I see where I should be on the lookout for these kinds of things, and then how I can handle these problems or challenges, I should say, when they pop up.
Okay, so it sounds like as a compliance team, as the compliance division, you really encourage conversations. It sounds like rather than someone just dropping you an email and saying, hey, Tim, can I go to the hockey game? Or is this a bad idea? I'm going to get in big trouble if I go to the hockey game. You would really encourage a deeper conversation about, well, let's talk about the situation, who offered it to you. Give me a little background, fill me in, and let's try to work through the best answer together. So it sounds like you're almost saying, look, we're not here as the compliance division to just give you absolute yes, no, this is black and white, but rather to help people not only to walk through specific situations like this hockey game ticket scenario, but also to be able to recognize and identify, okay, this is a situation maybe that I should contact Tim or one of the people on his team just to run this through, because this sounds like from other conversations we've had, this sounds like a situation that I could perhaps bring in somebody just to be safe. Is that sort of a fair way to think about that?
I think you've got it exactly right. I mean, this is, to use an old saying, this is about teaching a person to fish. And there's always going to be those scenarios where people are going to have to reach out to my team. There's always new challenges. There's new changes in regulations. There's new understandings, there's new business models, new technology challenges, and we're constantly having to understand those and apply the rules to those new scenarios and those new challenges. But there's plenty of things that go on day to day that people can understand and be empowered on their own to handle. And that's what I really mean when I say that, you know, we are trying to deputize every one of our employees to say, let us explain to you how this works, how to think about it, and understand there are certain situations where we absolutely appreciate that you were thoughtful and mindful about this and you called us, but we really think that with some understandings of the principles, this is something you can decide on a day-to-day basis. And there are other situations where we understand that it is less comfortable to make some of those decisions and make some of those calls, and sometimes even a bad idea to try to do that on your own without help. And for those scenarios, we're here to help you. But that's what I want. I want it to be just integral to the day-to-day life, to the way that people wake up and go to work and breathe at NewMotion, that they just understand in those that they need to do every day, there's a range of acceptable ways to go about those, and we're helping them to understand those. And to me, that's one of the biggest victories, is when I get a call or when someone on our team gets a call from someone who has reached out in the past and had one of those positive interactions where they realize this is not just compliance sending them an email that says no, or passing down a list of rules and bullet points that nobody really understands why, but that they actually got an explanation, they had a conversation, they worked through a problem together, they feel the more understanding of why we do what we do. And then they reach out again and they bring up something that my team and I can say, wow, that's fantastic. I bet you we never would have had visibility to help people solve this problem had we not had that last really positive interaction. And so, frankly, every one of these interactions, when you do what my team and I do, every interaction is, for lack of a better term, is a marketing opportunity to share with the people in the business that we really are here as a resource for you. We want to make you smarter. If the world was perfect, we could come in and help make everybody so empowered and so smart on the rules and the regs and the way that they apply that they wouldn't even need us eventually. And as I say, you know, times change, business scenarios, technology changes, laws and rules change. And so we'll never truly get to that spot where you just say, yep, the ordinary person who's just working to customize these chairs and get these things out to our customers has the time to keep up with this. And so we don't need a compliance department. That day is just not going to come. But what we can do to try to keep people as empowered so that they can serve more customers, they don't have to slow down and be delayed by researching something or tripping up and then having to clean up a mess. The more we can do that, the more people we can help that rely on our products, the more trust we can build with our payers, with our regulators. And that just creates a better healthcare ecosystem for everybody.
Okay, and that's a really great transition to another question that I was going to ask you. Again, we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but you certainly approach compliance not just as something that is a good management tool or good goal for NewMotion to have as a business. You also seem to approach compliance from the position that compliance, understanding it, incorporating it into everyday decision making, can help the entire complex rehab technology industry. So this is not just about lifting NewMotion just by itself, but you seem to talk about compliance as if you think it is a great goal for the entire complex rehab technology industry. Is that accurate? And if so, why do you believe that?
It's absolutely accurate. And I want to be clear, it's not just me. It starts at the very top for us. It starts with our CEO. It starts with our leadership team. It's one of the big reasons that I believe so much in what we're doing and frankly, what others in our industry are doing. You know, we're here with the privilege to serve the people that we serve. They have great needs, and we have the opportunity to make a very significant difference in their lives. And when we as a company, when we as an industry fail to stay between the guardrails, so to speak, to do things compliantly, we drive up cost because payers spend more money on auditing. Regulators are spending more time and energy chasing and trying to stamp out fraud and abuse in our industry. We slow down delivery cycles. We decrease our ability, frankly, to help our customers. And so there are rules within the system that the more we can get it right, the more trust we build with those customers, with those payers, with those regulators, the better we can serve the customers, the more efficiently we can do that, the more we can save everyone in that ecosystem that I just talked about, time and money. And that's really what it's about to me. I mean, when we think about healthcare and when we think particularly about some of the very special needs that our customers have, when I talk with folks in our business, I challenge them to make it personal. Think about it for yourself. When your mother, your father, your brother or sister, or a child or a dear friend, a coworker is in great need and in some of the most sensitive times of their lives, it matters to you. It matters to you that you can trust whoever they choose among a group of competitors in a space, whoever they choose, you want to be able to trust them. You want to know that they have the best interest of your loved one in mind. You want to know that they're doing things to care for that loved one and get them the best equipment or care that they can. You want to do that at a fair price. You want to know that that company is trusted by the payers, by the regulators. And it feels simple to me that that's really what everybody's after at the end of the day. And the more we can get it right, the more we can not have our folks distracted by, you know, audits or investigations or problems after the fact, the more we can serve more people better, more effectively. And that's true of the industry. The folks that do what we do are just, they're making a difference in so many people's lives. And we just don't need all of the complications that can come with things going wrong. I think it, we at NewMotion think it, it's important for our company to lead in this way. It's important for us as an industry to be a leader. There are some checkered pasts in the broader DME POS industry. And I think we really have an opportunity to lead out of that. I want to be very clear. Nobody is perfect. And I'm not sitting here saying that we're perfect. And I'm sure none of my competitors would say that. What makes it different, what makes a compliance program, a company effective, is the ability to catch things when they aren't quite right, and to do something about it, to actually respond to it, and to build an awareness in people so that they are on the lookout and they're trying to do things right. And when they make mistakes, we try to correct those. And when we have issues as a company, we face into those and we really try to handle those things. So nobody's ever going to be perfect, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for that greatness. And when we discover issues, you know, handle those and correct them and try to learn from them and be better. And I think if we're all as an industry thinking about that, we're going to make it better for our customers and for their loved ones every day. So we believe very strongly in wanting to be there as a company and wanting to lead in that way for our industry and to see our peers in the industry really do the same.
Well, I love the idea of compliance not existing in a vacuum. It's not compliance just for compliance's sake. It's compliance because it is the most efficient, the best way to serve the consumers, which is really what everyone's ultimate goal is. So I wanted to wrap up our podcast with two questions. First, just to go back to that hockey game ticket example we were talking about earlier. If someone from NewMotion came to you and said that a manufacturer had offered free hockey tickets, it sounds like from our conversation that you would not automatically say, yes, you can go, no, you can't go, but that really is part of a deeper conversation. Is that correct?
That's right. And we would, in a situation like that, we would sit down with the person and say, well, you know, who is it that had offered the tickets? What was the reason behind it? What's the situation? Who else is going? Where is it? You know, sometimes not all these things are created equal. Sometimes, you know, if this was game 7 of a historic Stanley Cup, there's a different scrutiny that might be put on that. If, you know, what are the circumstances here? And is there a way to allow someone to take advantage of this? And one of the options that we've employed from time to time is to say to folks, hey, if you offer to pay face value for that, there's no reason you can't join those folks. We always make sure that our folks are staying away from any kind of quid pro quo, any sort of offer of something valuable in exchange for referrals and sales and the like. But just as you said, these situations are many and varied and they're nuanced. We can certainly give some general guidance to folks, and we do, about the things to stay away from. And in the rest of the situations, we're really trying to take into account and understand. And, you know, those conversations not only are good for our folks to have, they make us smarter too. We hear different variations on themes every day. This is just not a role or a profession where you ever get to spike the ball and say, we did it, we're done. Everybody's compliant and everything's great. You learn something new every day. And you've got to have that humility when you come in that no two situations are alike, and that we really need to listen to the differences and have the conversations that make us all better. So we're trying to do that every day.
And that leads perfectly into my final question, which is, what your favorite part of the job is. I would love to know what sorts of conversations or interactions with New Motion colleagues or even with colleagues in the industry make you think, yes, we're getting this right. People are understanding compliance. It is making us better as an organization for New Motion. It's maybe even lifting the entire industry up and making us a better industry for it. So how do you know that that's happening when you're making that connection, and what excites you about your job?
Two things for me that let me know we're getting this right. One is follow-ups from employees. I mentioned it before, you know, when you have a conversation with someone and they understand, wow, this is a thoughtful process. It's not just call compliance, get a no, get a yes, and move on, right? But there's a conversation. I feel more empowered. I understand the issues better. And then we get another phone call from them later. Hey, I was thinking about this, or I've got a new situation. You've really made a connection there, right? You've connected with a person who understands this is nuanced and folks are here to help and they're thinking about this. So that tells me we're getting it right. I was in one of our offices in St. Louis yesterday and on my way to a meeting, and somebody saw me walking by and grabbed me and asked a follow-up question on a matter that had come up over the last several weeks. And it was my first opportunity to meet this person within our company. And we had such a great conversation about it, and then just spent a bunch of time talking about, you know, our kids and about life and approaches to things and what she loved about New Motion. And that personal connection and that opportunity to see that someone is really engaging with the kinds of things that we work with every day, that tells me we're getting it right. I think the other thing that tells me we're getting it right is getting people to raise their hands, to speak up, to raise a concern when they've got it. And we've seen really positive trends internally at New Motion in terms of people feeling comfortable coming to our compliance team and speaking up. We give them a number of avenues to raise their hand when they've got a concern, including the opportunity to speak up anonymously. And people absolutely take advantage of that. But over the last 3 years, we've seen both an increase in the number of folks willing to speak up and a decrease in the number of those that come in anonymously. And that tells me people are more and more comfortable that as a company, we're going to do the right thing and that they don't need to fear being retaliated against. And that really, truly shows me that we're doing something right here. We're never going to be at a spot in these jobs where we get to spike the ball. I may have already mentioned that, but it's a constant learning and it's a constant opportunity. But seeing those things is what tells me we got it right. And it's also what excites me about the job. I mean, here, I know when we talk about that with our teams, with the leaders in this company, and we say, hey, good news, we're getting more people speaking up. And we're able to do more about it, and we're able to help people. Nobody says, oh my gosh, this is a real problem. All these people speaking up and what's happening. Nobody views it as a measure of health that there are zero concern reports. We actually measure it the opposite way. We think that the more people are willing to speak up, healthier we are. If we aren't getting concern reports from people, we are questioning that and saying, why is that? And we don't look at it and say, listen, all concern reports equal compliance misses. Oftentimes, concern reports equal things that people just need to understand better or to clarify misunderstandings. But people's willingness to raise their hand in those situations is just, it's a really good thing for a company. And the fact that our culture and our leadership believe in that and want to get it right, that's the kind of thing that excites me. And the people that I get to work with that are committed to those kinds of things just make it fantastic to have the opportunity to come in to the office and do this every day as long as they'll have me here.
Well, thanks so much, Tim. Talking to you about corporate compliance and its impact on complex rehab has really changed my own views of compliance and what it is. And I hope this is the start of a lot of interesting conversations within the industry. And with that, we'll be wrapping up this podcast with Tim Casey from New Motion. My thanks to Tim for sharing his thoughts and experiences, and to New Motion for being our sponsor. Mobility Management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. The best way to be sure you don't miss any of our podcasts is to subscribe. You can also go onto our website at mobilitymgmt.com to listen there. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to Tim, and we'll be back again soon.